We lock ourselves once again in the asylum and throw away the key, as this time we get a sequel mockbuster that has a chance to improve upon the first film that it's busting. But will we bust, or will this film bust us? Find out along with us this week. This is Kaiju versus History, Atlantic Rim Resurrection.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is an alien bug full of Orbeez Miles. And joining me is a scientist unconvincingly spouting techno babble, Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing this week?
The salt protein permeable membrane is not able to push through nutrients. We could develop a poison that will shut their central systems down. I'm not great, my...
I'm not even excited. I had to re-listen to that crap.
This movie boiled my brain just a little bit. Of course, talking about 2018's Atlantic Rim Resurrection. The first movie was so good, it demanded a sequel. And of course, the sequel just so happened to come out right before Pacific Rim Uprising would come out. They just timed it so well. But
yeah, a movie so memorable it doesn't even have its own Wikipedia entry.
Yes, Atlantic Rim Resurrection. And it's so funny, there's so many terrible asylum films that have a good amount of information on them online. This one super flew below the radar. Atlantic Rim Resurrection.
Yeah,
Miles, I knew at least of the first one. I don't think I knew that they made a sequel.
I really can't speak to it because I said, well, yeah, it makes sense because they always make sequels to their freaking movies. Like there's like, I think like two or three Avengers Grimm movies. So like that there's a sequel. It doesn't surprise me because there's a Pacific Rim sequel. They do that. Heck, they won't stop doing Monster versus Ape or whatever.
yep for Kong and Godzilla.
So I'm not super shocked about this, but I survived the first one, and I actually had to watch this film at least the first 10 minutes of it twice because Tubi somehow had no dialogue track. And at first I thought it was an aesthetic choice. And I was like, well, this is interesting. And then once I it cuts to like actual people talking, because they've done things where like there's like a recap of something.
It is like the first 3 minutes are kind of like stock footage and like kind of clips from the first movie. And Miles, you warned me about this and I still watched the Tubi version thinking maybe they fixed it in the week between. No, I felt for the same thing. And then people started talking and there wasn't dialogue. I was like, Oh no, I'm so dumb. So guess what, Miles? I have open on my computer right now. Contact Tubi support, an email drafted. We're going to, you know, draft a letter to Tubi at this moment for this film. So far, I have the audio dialogue track for Atlantic Rim Resurrection.
2018.
Let me put it Atlantic Rim Resurrection 2018. Just to make sure.
And then in parentheses, put D-I-R Jared Cohn.
Subcolon, yes.
For the director.
Make sure that his name, his stink, is represented in this film.
To whom it may concern. Yeah, so this movie, they don't even bother to bring back like the original cast.
You know, it's so funny because that was a spoiler warning for Pacific Rim. That was one of the complaints, is there's not a ton of returning characters. It's a lot of new characters and there's a bit of time jump between the films. But the same thing happens here. And, you know, there's not that many years between them. Not that I cared for the characters in the first Atlantic Rim movie, but it's funny that both film and the film mockbusting it have the same problem. Yeah, so a whole new cast. It is basically the same premise, but they do change the designs and things. I was very surprised by that in this movie. But
yeah, I will say this one just feels like, I mean, it feels like less of an effort all around, because like typically you have like at least one person who like had some mustard on their career. You know, typically it's an old TV star or pop star or something. And like the best they can kind of give us is what, Paul Logan, who is like, we have Sean Bean at home.
Yeah, and he's kind of like a very minor character.
He's a non-factor in this movie. Most of these actors are non-factors in this movie.
Well, both Paul Logan and the main, I would say main actor, Steve Harris, who plays J.P. Roth. Don't you worry, they will tell you what the J.P. stands for before the end of the film. Steve Harris and Paul Logan both were daytime soap opera actors, and I'm guessing some more of this cast from that world.
Here's what's so funny, because yes, you were correct. Steve Harris was on 71 episodes of Another World and 39 of One Life to Live, both at one point very successful. I saw him two nights ago because I happened to be going back through watching Sex and the City with my fiance. And literally, one of the last episodes we watched is one of the ones where he plays the gardener.
Yeah, I just saw that. That is on his IMDb. Yeah, he's actually a pretty good actor. I was surprised.
No, he's terribly written, but he's not a problem.
Well, it's the same thing. Like the entire dialogue in the script is pretty rough, and he has about half of the techno babble in the film. The other Dr. Horowitz, played by Jenna Ends, has the other half, and she is not.
No, she's not good at all.
I mean, I'm sure she's a fine actress, very poorly cast in this role as a scientist. She probably does fine in other films, but she has the vast majority of the techno babble, and not a lick of it is really convincing for her. Well, I don't have it in my notes. There is actually some title shenanigans for Atlantic Rim Resurrection Miles in
me. Oh yeah, I'm so sorry. I've been lost in the stink of this thing that I forgot to ask.
I normally have it written down, but in many markets this is just known by its working name, which was Atlantic Rim 2. Atlantic Rim Resurrection is mostly the English title that you'll see from other countries. But Germany, this is called Atlantic Rim 2 Metal versus Monster. And I'm wondering if the original Atlantic Rim also had that subtitle. But Resurrection, what is being resurrected in this? This is like a brand new monster. It's not the one from the first movie. So what is the resurrection from the title,
Miles? I do not know.
Does the movie know? No. I think it probably would have been better if it was just Atlantic Rim 2.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean,
can I tell you my favorite character actor in the movie is Richard Leacock, who we open on a small fishing boat by himself.
Which is he returned from the last movie? Is he a character from the last movie? Because I
don't think so. But it is funny if he was in both, because he does not have a scene with another actor in the film. He is literally
one day on a boat for sure. Like nothing happened there.
The course of the movie is the entire movie one day. Like, does it ever turn night? In is it all in like real time almost, Miles?
I think so. It's all in one day half this movie, someone's daughter is stuck in traffic.
Yes. But well, for his character, Andrus, who's on the boat, like I feel like a good 20 minutes of actual film time pass. And then they check back in with him and he's still on the boat. He's still like coming into shore.
Yeah, he's been scooting around this entire time.
And I think it's supposed to be Florida, but several times there are title cards that come up that say 10 miles, 15 miles away from the Atlantic Ocean. But Miles, they're very specifically in the desert of California in this film. Like,
yes,
the first movie, they did not film anywhere that looked like it couldn't be the East Coast. Did they not care? Did they forget the movie was called Atlantic Rim and this is supposed to be happening in the Atlantic Ocean? Because they also talk about how a monster attacks like San Francisco at one point. And it's like, oh, well, that's the very that's the Pacific. That's the other side of the country. Do they not care is what I'm trying to say.
I do not think so.
Or did they forget?
And I'm actually having trouble finding. So the our main characters are supposed to be the three, you know,
the pilots, jocks, yeah,
and the robots. And we have Hammer, Badger, and what?
Bugs.
What's the third one's Bugs. I cannot find her cast name on IMDb because it doesn't have a Wikipedia list. I found Badgers and I found Hammers, but I don't see Bugs anywhere. Because Bugs, it's funny that I made the we have Sean Bean at home joke earlier, because in my notes I wrote one of them is we have Alex Adushku at home.
Yeah, we get a very long introduction to their characters, which is funny because they die or get taken out
in the same bar quickly. that the last group was in.
I gotta say that terrible dialogue in the script for those three, but they're actually good. I mean, they're good acting. Actors. Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. Well, I feel like the first movie had bad acting and bad script. It was like a double whammy. This one, I was pleasantly surprised that almost everyone was somewhat believable.
Yeah, it sucks because you can tell they are trying, but they're trying really hard with bad dialogue, which does make them look very silly sometimes, especially Bugs after Hammer gets killed.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I get it. Like, story-wise, this makes sense, but the way it's written is so bad. Speaking of, one note I really, really took is, so we get introduced to them picking up this professor, J.P. Roth, who designed the initial robots. They have a name. I forgot it. It's not important.
Yeah, the OTs, I think they mention. They also have a name for the kaiju in this movie, which escapes me. But they don't use it very often.
No, I can't remember what they call it.
But the first movie had like more dragon-like monster, and this one is very much like a
bug
crustacean kind of mix. And it's interesting.
That gives birth to a bunch of Starship Trooper bugs.
A bunch of spiders, and the majority of the movie isn't really them facing the kaiju. It's like dealing with millions of bugs crawling all over this obviously southwestern town.
Yeah. So that's the kind of a twist here is that, you know, we're focused on this doctor and then we get introduced to our pilots and we have this very dumb conversation where he's talking about the software being kind of not incompatible, but like inferior because it causes a lag between thought and actual movement for the machine. And they have this dumb conversation about let us do our jobs. I'm like, he is explaining why you can't.
Python is more expensive operating platform to code in. It's like, well, we'll spare no expense. Let's get the Python code monkeys out here
we will work with you know, inferior software, which I mean, on one hand, like if you gotta do, we gotta do. That's one thing. But these guys are being obstinate. Before there was even a real issue.
I mean, to be fair, the one guy does die. So it's like,
which proves the doctor right.
Oh, yeah. They weren't like, ready.
It's a dumb conversation. Yeah, we go, let us do our jobs. We got training. We've done this for 2 years or whatever it was. And I'm like, all right, yeah, you got training, but you got no brains. Because like part of it was like a little bit, you know, well, told you when that guy died. And
it was a dumb conversation.
And
he died of smoke inhalation too, or something terrible inside the mech.
He died in an extremely dumb way. Like they didn't even give him a cool death. And the plot of this movie is basically just like, you know, the monsters come back. There's no rhyme or reason. We don't really find out what happened.
Yeah, they make it seem like we are going to find out. I mean, I guess we learn that they're aliens. Like they're not carbon based in this movie, but it still does not matter because the main crux of this is they're just trying to find they grab one of the little ones to develop a poison, basically. Yeah. Bug spray. I don't know how much I want to talk about this movie. I do want to point out, though, that you're not crazy. Bugs is not listed on the IMDb.
It's so weird.
Page. Well, I think the actress probably scrubbed it from her IMDb, but I am doing the extra research for this podcast. It's Lindsay Elston who plays Bugs, and she does not have it listed on her IMDb, so I'm pretty sure she asked to be taken off. I don't think
that is hilarious.
Forget people. Yeah.
Well, so it shows here that she's also in the first Atlantic Rim. That doesn't seem right.
What are you looking at?
Oh, that's just Google being stupid.
Yeah, don't worry. It's good sometimes the Google kind of like actors search, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think it also lists some of the other Atlantic Rim.
Yeah, she's worked pretty consistently, so I can't blame her for wanting to scrub. It looks like she's like, especially from a lot of her stuff, she's trying to do like more serious work.
Yes, unlike many of the other actors and the director Jared Cohn, who have mostly done these kind of asylum films, the director Jared Cohn also did a bunch of stuff: Alien, Predator, Super Volcano, 20.0 Megaquake. 20.0, like a 10.0, but twice as deadly, which is also known as San Francisco Megaquake. Yeah, this movie, I do like the new design for the monsters here, and it's not terrible CGI. Once again,
yeah,
they get better and better, I think, with every single Asylum
film. The CGI gets better, the sets don't.
To be honest, I kind of liked their command center. It definitely feels like a repurposed sci-fi set from some other film.
It certainly feels like it belongs a different set. Like they're on like the ground floor of this thing. It just feels like they're on a walkway at a warehouse somewhere. And just like, what is happening?
No, they're deep underground. Because they go to like the mountain.
Oh, that's right. They had that whole stupid conversation about 30 stories under the ground. That's right.
They go to like Vasquez Rock. And enter a cave. It's so very California, but 10 miles away from the Atlantic Ocean. Miles. They never said date, I don't believe, but
I will say that there is a couple things I do want to comment on, because mm-hmm. I agree with you. There's not much to this movie. There's not much to say about this movie. It's, in fact, in many ways, actively worse for me than the first one.
I like it more.
I like the actors more, and that's it.
Yeah. The first one has a MST3K episode, which makes it much
that certainly better, helps. But there's weird things like, so two of the characters are the wife and daughter of a minor character in this movie. For whatever reason, they're given screen time, and they focus on the daughter
Paul Logan's wife and kids,
stuck in traffic, who seems to be unaware of anything initially. And the weird, like, this is the weirdest thing for me. I don't know why I focus. She's in this dusty ass black car that no one thought to get clean that day.
That bothers me.
Not only does that bother me, she's in a weather and a state where that seems to be. I think at one point they say they're in Tennessee. They're going to Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah, because that's where their someone's parents live.
Oh, that's very far from the Atlantic Ocean.
Right, but the car. Not only is it dusty, and it's like noticeably dusty, but also there is a air freshener in this convertible that seems to always be in convertible mode. Why is an air freshener there? I am so annoyed by this vehicle.
Miles, the bit about, so the actress is Tegan Searcet, who plays Samantha, and her mom, Karen, with a K, played by Liz Finning. The part that bothered me, and they do it in these movies all the time, is the actors have like a 13 year age difference between mother and daughter, and it's like, okay, they even try to make the one actress look older, you know,
right?
They just allowed, and honestly, she also had her hair done red, which I don't think is her natural color, so I mean,
she's a natural blonde.
They like actively tried to make her look younger, and
it's like they couldn't afford to get Tiffany or something, because I felt like that's the role that was supposed to be, of like some once upon a pop star.
Yeah, it would make sense.
They typically do.
The actress,
she kind of looks like Cassandra Peterson, aka Elvira, but she kind of looks like Cassandra in IRL. So I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I looked to see if she was anybody. Nope. So,
but It's just one of those things where it's like, can you imagine just showing up? It's like, all right, who's my daughter for this? Are you, did you cast like a teenager? Because that would have been, you know, appropriate. It's like, no, it's a like a 30-year-old woman. It's like, what?
Yeah. And so they have this weird subplot about these two trying to make it through the city that's being overtaken by these little Starship Trooper bugs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just all filler.
And the funniest thing is that Paul Logan gets this one line because Roth, the professor, I think, needs to use the phone to contact them about like how to defeat the aliens. But then he does this weird posture like, I just lost my friend in one of these things. Make it quick. I'm like, this is part of the job. What are you commenting about?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like I had more fun with this movie being bad than I did, and I actively did not. I actually had a worse time with this than the first one, personally.
Yeah,
even though there are things I agree with you that are a little bit better, specifically the robot designs, but
it actually makes for a worse movie when it's more capable and less. Mm-hmm. We can get into our rating for it. Somehow it's the most watchable of the Asylum films, but it wasn't entertaining because of that. But it had, like I said, pretty bad writing, but good actors for it. I don't think this feels like much of a kaiju movie because most of the time it is like a Tremors sequel where they're just fighting these little bugs with small arms on the ground. But there are two extended mechs versus monster sequences, which are not bad. It's
like more than we got in the first one, I feel like.
Yeah, it is like 10 minutes of the movie, which, you know, isn't like a small amount, but I'm giving this a 5 out of 10. I'm not gonna watch this ever again, but I am surprised how far the Asylum has come in the 7 films I think we've featured here on the podcast. You know, this is I will say this is much better than what we have seen. I think it's about as good or bad as the first one, though, which I think I also give a 5. But what about you, Miles?
So I liked this even less than the first one, which I already didn't care for. Because
at a 4 out of 10 for that one, maybe?
Yes, I was. And I do agree with you. The acting is certainly better, but because it enters this weird like realm between, you know, bad and credit bad or so bad it's good, and it's not any of those things, it just becomes boring. It's not an entertaining watch. Like, I'm watching these things, I'm like, yeah, that part's actually, you know, these actors are actually trying, but everything else kind of sucks, so it doesn't really matter. And like, I mean, again, these Asylum scripts are already rough as it is. Sometimes they can be rough in a very fun way. This movie just isn't fun. Like, it really does feel like they cranked this out just so they had something to go along with the release of Pacific Rim Uprising. And which I know you can say that about most our movies, but sometimes there's an element of
the point.
I know I understand what a mockbuster is, but it's there. Sometimes there's a tongue in cheek element, even if they're not aware of the joke. Like sometimes there's an element of silly fun that I just don't often have with these movies. So, yeah, I'm at a 3, bro. Did not have a good time with this movie.
Yeah, that's fine. What about the technical aspect, Miles? Where you're falling on the
script? I mean, you kind of heard me harp on the script being awful, the direction's awful. The CGI is a bit better than it was in the last one. I do fully agree with that, but everything else just flat out sucks. I do think it deserves a smidge more of a credit because the acting is decent and the CGI is better than the last one, so I'm giving it a 4. What about you?
Well, I'm sticking with a 5 out of 10 because I think the dialogue, I mean, dialogue is bad in all the Asylum films. The dialogue's bad, but the script isn't bad. The script is pretty, I mean, it moves along. And like I said, it's kind of in real time.
You opened up making fun of the technobabble in the script, bro.
Well, like I said, that's the dialogue, but like the story itself is
So you're just talking about the base, like plotting stuff.
Yeah. Oh, the dialogue is.
I don't know, man. Even awful. The script, the B plot of Samantha and Karen or whatever. Yes,
that is very much filler, which is also in all these movies. But I gotta say, I liked the actors. I liked.
Again, the actors aren't awful.
None of it's good, but 5 out of 10 is still below good, I think, on our scale. And for its importance as a kaiju movie, sadly, the first movie was so bad this one really does feel not needed and not even really a sequel to the first movie, because so few things from the first movie carry over. Like, they even have better.
It's like the Mega Shark movies were like they're
yeah, they're sequels.
It is a sequel, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to be. The we didn't even talk about the mechs. I do like the mech design in this one a little bit more than an Atlantic Rim. But once again, when you get
still too, not good.
When you get too good, it loses its funny elements. Like, they did some things too competently. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 10. It definitely feels like this is one they really could have skipped. And yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I'm back to a 3. I mean, like, especially because, like, they put together this poster that, like, promises, like, a bunch of different giant monsters and some machine action. And you're kind of like, okay, well, maybe this will be better. And it's just not. This is not a movie that I would ever bring up in conversation willingly about kaiju films, or if I was, like, giving someone a list of things to watch, or even the era. Like, when we talk about asylum movies, it's mostly because they were such a presence in the late aughts and the teens that you kind of have to give them a little bit of attention. But, like, I think the asylum itself, there's no single picture that we've watched that I was like, oh yeah, this is the one that, like, really, you know, pops into the subculture, with the exception of the mimetic moment that Giant Shark or Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus had when the trailer came out. I think that's as significant as Asylum has ever really been outside of the Sharknado movies. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm just going back through our ratings of all the Asylum films. And this is tied with the best score I think we've given any of the, which is a 4 out of 10 so far. Somehow the one that probably should have been an Asylum film. Gosh, I even forget the name. Behemoth. Got a 5 out of 10 from us, but it's not an Asylum film. It just very much felt like it. All the Mega Sharks were like 4, except for the first one, which we gave a 3 out of 10. Monster, if you remember that movie, was a 2 out of 10. And Kong, no, King of the Lost World was a 3. So, yeah, you're at a 3, and I'm at a very low 5, which brings our podcast final to a 4 out of 10. Will any Asylum film ever break a 5 or above, do you think, Miles?
we
got a few more left
of what we're gonna watch. I'm not optimistic.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, maybe if we did some spinoff where we watched like the Avengers Grimm movies and see how that worked, maybe or you know, Lava Lantula or something, you know, maybe one of those is more fun, but I'm not willing to find out. I actually have heard Transmorphers is legitimately, like, fun. I have heard that from many people.
I'm excited to see Ape versus Monster and the sequel Ape versus Mega Ape and Ape versus Mecha Ape New World Order. We got that trilogy to look forward to.
Look forward is such a strong phrase.
Oh, that's going to do it for us here. 4 out of 10. Where can folks find us if they want to talk kaiju?
Well, if you want to talk kaiju and not this film, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can find us on Blue Sky at kaijuversushistory. Visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show. Comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. And if you want to talk to us in real time, head on over to cosmiccrit.com for our sister show. You can click the Discord link there. It takes you right to Discord. And there is a Kaiju versus History channel in the Cosmic Crit Discord there, where you can talk to Patrick and I in real time, mostly about toys and new kaiju announcements and goofy things like that. Lots of memes. Lots and lots of memes. But yeah, come hang out with us. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Well, obviously, we've eaten our veggies, and now it is time to get a monster movie dessert, because the Mockbuster is done, and we get to watch the movie that it was trying to bust. So tune in next time for History versus Pacific Rim Uprising.